Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. This week's podcast is brought to you by AgroZen Life Sciences. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for joining us this week. On this week's podcast, we'll hear from Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney, and Evans. Justin, how are you today?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, absolutely. And we want to continue our conversation. Very important for hemp farmers, growers, everybody in the hemp community out there. The USDA interim final rule. We've been discussing this for the last couple weeks, and people have questions. They have comments. It's a big topic, and we want to continue on with that this week, Justin.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great sign, too. It's not every day you see a federal agency open up the comment period again for a rule like this. So we're cautiously optimistic that we have some really strong momentum going into it.
When did they open up for comments?
So they announced late last week, and they officially started accepting comments on Tuesday, so September 8th.
Okay, and I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Where can people go to submit those comments?
So we sent out a member alert on Tuesday. That has a link to it, but you basically go to the Federal Register, which is where all the federal rules are published. And you can Google USDA hemp comments, Federal Register, and it'll come up, and you just can submit your comments online.
Okay. And before they do that, of course, they need to know, not necessarily put words in their mouth or tell them what to say, but of course, we do want to reiterate you definitely don't use it as a complaining point, or what am I trying to say? The word I'm trying to find that I could air that.
Well, it's basically identifying the issue and then offering a solution, right? That's kind of what we're encouraging our members to do, is say, hey, here are the issues that I'm experiencing in my business or my personal life. And here's something or a policy that could really help benefit everybody or the industry if you did it this way.
Yeah, use some intelligence in it. What I was trying to say is don't name call or insinuate or any conspiracies or anything like that. Just this is something for people to get information from. So use your best judgment in giving the information, and assume these people do not or have not considered your point of view or the information you're giving, and it can be very helpful.
That's right, Jason. And so USDA, really, they're focusing on this round. They're focusing on 12 specific topics that we did list in our member alert on Tuesday. So I really encourage you to check that out. Out of these 12, it's kind of cool to see. You could argue that 9 out of the 12 points fit into the 5 points that we brought up back in October of 2019 when this rule was first brought out. And in that member alert, I'll keep referring to that because there's a ton of information on it. We actually post that infographic as well that does a really good job of breaking down, I think, in a simple manner of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the issues USDA wants to hear about again is this 15-day harvest window and why that's problematic for farmers and dryers and processors and really the whole industry. So that was one of the issues we brought up at the first go around. They're asking for more information on it. And our suggested solution is really to mimic what Indiana has done here prior to the 18 Farm Bill, which is we allowed 30-day harvest window. And we think that extra 15 days can really help account for unforeseen delays and make sure that, farmers are actually profitable and not being strung up by a regulation.
So the USDA is looking to you or to the public for this information. And I guess the simple question, the first question most people would have is, shouldn't the USDA already have this information, have this knowledge, have people there with some intelligence on this topic?
Well, I'm sure they do, Jason. Just keep in mind, this is new for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a brand new world for the regulators. And I think I applaud them for opening this a second round up. And they're seeking the expert input and the market participants to provide meaningful feedback. And if you go in and actually read the release of their document, they do a pretty good job of saying, hey, here's where the current rule stands. This is some of the feedback that we found interesting. Can you highlight a little more? So, for instance, on the 15-day harvest window, they mention, you know, should this be extended to 30 days? An easy comment is yes. Be like Indiana. Do 30 days. We figured it out. The world didn't end.
yet.
You know, another really important thing they're looking at, Jason, is the liquid chromatography factor. Mm-hmm. And this is better known as kind of the total THC calculation and whether you're trying to find out if hemp is compliant.
Okay.
And so right now the interim final rules require that hemp sample to be decarboxylated, which is a fancy way of saying have heat applied to it, or another way of saying, you know, here's a calculation that you need to take into account the THCA, which is the acid form or the psychoactive part. Psychoactive cannabinoid found in the hemp plant.
So for those that might not be aware, the 0.3% THC we were talking about, this is 0.877. What's the difference and how do those numbers go together? Do they even go together?
No, good question, Jason. They do. And this is a really important point. It's very nuanced, but very important. So we do have that 0.3% Delta 9 THC standard in federal law. But what this interim final rule tells us to do is you have to account for that THCA being converted to THC.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the formula is you take your Delta 9 or your THCA content and multiply that, essentially take 87.7% of that and add it to your Delta 9 total.
Okay.
So that whole number, once you take into account the THC, that has to be below 0.3% THC. What they're suggesting to do is rather than 87.7%, what do you guys think about 52.62%, which is 60% of 87.7%. So as you can see, it's very confusing and you can get lost. But this is a huge point because this is finally acknowledging that this 87.7% formula is not based in science. And it assumes that 100% of your THCA converts to THC.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm probably losing people, but I'm just trying to emphasize how important these points are to make. And you asked earlier, why doesn't USDA get this? I think they do, but you also have to keep in mind they're getting a lot of pushback, which they've admitted publicly, from the DEA. And so they're looking for cover from the industry to say, guys, you need to help us explain why, if we're going to do it this way, we might as well not have a hemp program at all.
Okay. And is that 0.877 factor, is that good for hemp growers? Is that what we are shooting for, or is that the bottom?
So to bring the conversation at a higher level, this is the old conversation between, you know, federal law only calls for Delta 9 THC to find out if you're compliant, never mentions THCA. So this final rule answered that question and said it does matter. Your THCA content does matter. So that is gone. That argument's gone. But now what USDA is looking at is that formula correct on the conversion rate from THCA to THC? And what they're offering here is, okay, we recognize again that this is an 100% conversion rate. Would you guys be happy with 60% of that 87.7%? And so this is actually giving more flexibility to farmers in their testing. And gives them more opportunity to be compliant, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope I'm explaining that right, Jason.
Well, you know, a lot of it's over my head, but a lot of life is over my head, so that's all irrelevant. But the idea is to get the information out there to those that need that information. And before we continue on with some of the topics in there, we do want to point out that Senator Braun and Congressman Baird are both involved in this heavily.
That's great, and thanks for bringing that up, Jason. They actually penned a letter to Secretary Perdue last year echoing kind of our concerns and the industry's general concerns with the interim final rule. And so we always like to give a huge shout-out to them, and we hope to engage them again in this process.
Has Senator Braun been involved heavily with the progress of hemp?
I can tell you there's a huge interest coming out of his office, out of Congressman Baird's office, just based on conversations with their staff. I think they're really recognizing that Indiana has a huge potential to be a leader in a new industry. And, you know, and if we're so good at ag, let's expand that to all markets.
All right, now let's get back to the topics here. We again, this list of topics the USDA put out, they're seeking comments on, and we covered a few of those. What are some of the other important topics they're going to be tackling?
So really, I would, you know, probably the last two I'd point out on this podcast is making sure they get rid of this DEA laboratory registration requirement, make sure that this really would make sure that our farmers have access to, you know, a wider range of testing services, and it wouldn't create kind of an artificial bottleneck in the industry in terms of getting your crop tested. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you had this requirement on top of a 15-day harvest window, it's like there is hardly, you know, there is no room for error. There is no room for unforeseen delays, or, you know, your tractor getting stuck in the field, or the lab being late on their getting your results back. Mm-hmm. So that's a big point. And Jason, probably the last point I'd point out on this is the sampling methodology, whether it's just the flower, like the top 2 inches of the flower versus the whole plant, and also the sampling methodology in terms of, you know, composition of the sample, what parts you're taking from, the frequency and the volume. So we've heard a lot of complaints from farmers that, you know, they've taken a lot of profit from me just coming to make sure I'm compliant. Isn't right. there a better way we can make sure that farmers are compliant without literally taking money out of their field?
All right. And these comments, as you said, are due by October 8th. We assume there'll yes. be a link on the Midwest Hemp Council website for this.
Yeah, if it's not up already, it will be. We're going to be modifying the infographic we put out back in October to mirror what USDA is looking for. But that, again, will be kind of a document one to encourage our listeners to submit comments, and also kind of help guide them through what they could be focusing on. This is not gospel, but it's, you know, intended to get people who may be hesitant to start, give them a start, and make sure we have enough people who are providing comments in a meaningful way to get these changed.
And obviously with the Midwest Hemp Council very involved, that's why we're doing this podcast, to get this information out. What else is the Midwest Hemp Council doing to lead the efforts here?
So we've partnered with, I think it's up to like 16 national stakeholders in the hemp and dietary supplement space to support some legislation at the federal level. U.S. Hemp Roundtable's done an excellent job of basically creating a portal to make it really easy to ask your congressman to, you know, co-sponsor the legislation or otherwise support it. Mm-hmm. And what this legislation does is it finally answers it gets rid of the FDA's inaction, and it requires, you know, under federal law, hemp-derived products would be treated just like any other dietary supplement. This is good for two reasons. One, it gives regulatory clarity, you know, for this emerging market. But it also makes sure that, you know, it protects consumers and makes sure the products on the market aren't harming people in terms of, you know, their content with heavy metals or pesticides, that kind of thing.
Right.
So obviously it's an election year, and Congress isn't too fast to act, but we're hoping that we can get a lot of momentum to show bipartisan support. We're hearing rumors that a Senate version may be introduced in the near future as well. So, again, while there's not a whole lot of faith out there in the D.C. world, there's a little bit of hope that this might turn into something meaningful for the industry. So really encourage. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was going to say, and the hemp biomass oversupply issue, is that a problem? I noticed that was in the letter there. That was is that something we need to be aware of? Are there some steps taken for that?
So we put that in the member alert, and I actually put that in quotes because sure, you could, you know, it's hard to argue against an oversupply, but I don't think you can't have a conversation about how to fix that oversupply issue without recognizing, the total lack of inaction by the FDA, because companies need that regulatory certainty to take products to market. And right now they don't have that certainty. So we're basically operating in a gray area.
Sure.
So I put that in quotes to say, you know, if we're talking oversupply, we also need to talk about what the government can do to get out of the way to make sure farmers and entrepreneurs can bring products to the market.
And does by oversupply, does that mean potentially regulating or limiting how much farmers can produce?
No. That's just I think one of the opponents of the hemp industry always point to is this oversupply issue. And, you know, CBD biomass prices have bottomed out, which is true. But again, I want to make sure that we're having a holistic conversation about the oversupply issue and make sure that people understand that the, you know, FDA's inaction is harming farmers and small businesses.
But oversupply, that would be taken care of by supply and demand, I would assume.
That, and that's kind of our point here is, okay, well, let us bring this stuff to market and, you know, the market will do what it does and it'll figure itself out.
All right. What else do we need to discuss today, Justin?
That's it in terms of our focus. That's Midwest Hemp Council's focus probably for the remainder of the year. The USDA's comment period is a extremely high priority, and we'll have some more communications out that in the near future.
All right. With the speaking of the Midwest Hemp Council, I do want to make sure we point out that, unfortunately, of course, with the everything everybody's going through in 2020 with the COVID, it shut down a lot of conventions and meetings and things like that. But the Hemp at the Crossroads 2021 is already in the works.
Yeah, we'll be doing that in February and look for a save the date here again in the near future. And we are leaning towards this is going to be an in-person thing or nothing at all. So just plan. We're hoping, obviously, we can't control the future, but hoping we'll be in a place where we can at least meet physically and make sure people can make the connections that they need to make.
Well, the first Hemp at the Crossroads was, or excuse me, I'm assuming that was the first Hemp at the Crossroads in 2019.
That was, yes.
Yeah, that was a huge event. Everybody got a lot out of that. It was a great networking opportunity. So that's something that a lot of people are missing. It'll be great to be able to get back out in public and look at people in the face and talk to them and start the momentum again.
Right, and that's the idea. So we're hoping we can follow through that come November. February, I apologize.
There we go. So people can certainly be on the lookout. We'll obviously be talking a lot more about that. Anything else we need to hit on, Justin?
I think that's all I got for today.
All right. It's going to be a short show today, but it's been a short week, so we'll take what we can get. But Justin, I do appreciate it and all the updates, and we'll have you back next week.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Justin, and that's going to do it for our show this week. We certainly do appreciate you tuning in and checking it out. The Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast is brought to you by AgroZen Life Sciences. We encourage you to go check out AgroZen Life Sciences, a very proud sponsor of the Midwest Hemp Council and doing what they can for the hemp community. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.